The MOS transistor is really a transistor in which one uses only one type of carrier, that is what are called majority carriers. In the bipolar transistor, say we have a PNP transistor, we inject holes from the emitter into the base. Now into the MOS transistor, which is almost a controllable resistor, we send the current along the surface and control the current flowing between two elements called a source and a drain by a metal electrode on the top, which does not contact the main area of the device at all, through a condenser above an insulator. We control the flow of the current in the transistor. The interesting parts about this development, of course, is that it had many applications which were not foreseen initially. And its chief advantage has been, still is, that it is much simpler to make than the bipolar transistor. So where you use large numbers of transistors, they can be made into integrated arrays quite easily. And I think the development of these integrated MOS arrays was led by RCA and the RCA laboratories, was one of the developments that the laboratories can be proud of, because many people never knew that the device would really make it. And it was a very difficult device because we did not know what to control. The insulator that is used here is only about 1,000 angstroms thick, which you can see we've come down from the bipolar transistor, which was mils, to making the bipolar transistor with closed spacings, to here where we have an insulator that's only 1,000 angstroms thick that has to withstand, say, 10 million volts per centimeter and not be destroyed. There were some interesting problems with respect to this, and that is because it was so small and did not have any leakage whatsoever, it was affected by static electricity. The girls that worked on these devices had to be grounded. I mean, if they shoveled their feet and then picked up one of the devices, the static electricity was large enough so that it could break down this insulation. And this was quite a difficulty for quite a few years. One would put life tests on, for instance, and they would fail in peculiar fashions. And it was discovered that every time somebody took them out off of the life test and plugged them in the socket and handled the leads, carried them across the room, picked up the leads, these were the things that burned them out. Now they have protective diodes in series in many cases, so this sort of thing can happen. And also one puts them in conducting rubber for storing. Store them in these very high insulating glass wool type of bats, which was also done for a while. You put them in and pull them out, and you can ruin them. One of the other important developments, of course, was to make the oxides clean enough so that the devices wouldn't drift. Many of the devices were used initially by an Englishman here, and he would describe the tendency for the devices to drift, for them to change when you applied the voltage. He was a cricket player, and he called this sticky wickets. So we had a failure mode that was called sticky wickets. You applied one voltage, and then you applied another voltage, and the results were different. His history and sequence in which you applied the voltage affected the device. And this to him. It was obvious when the wicket was supposed to come off, it didn't. We used the term because we thought it was so interesting, nobody else knew what it meant. Well, I think the MOS transistors had a great development. Another interesting development, I think, was the thyristor. This was developed here more or less by an accidental discovery with Loy Borton again. Loy was a farmer by trade and an inventor and one of these fellows who always tried things. You could never convince him by any theoretical argument that he shouldn't try anything. He was a good engineer, but he would always try everything. We had devices in which the spacings were quite close between the emitter and the collector, and we always warned people not to put too high current through these things. Well, Loy put lots of current all the time and suddenly discovered that if he did things right, he could control this current. That is, you put on a certain current and the device would switch from a high impedance state to a low impedance state, and if you limited it properly, well, you had a very good switch here. And when we found that this could be done without really destroying the things, if you weren't careful, of course, you switched them over and so much current flowed that it melted them, and that was the end of that experiment. But if you did things right, you could keep this. And then, of course, we learned how to control the characteristics of the thyristor and make all sorts of devices, and eventually, of course, this was applied by mostly the people in our production plant and at other plants to high voltage devices. The thyristor, of course, is a very important high current, high voltage device these days.